He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday, and welcome to June. It is go away in May? I don't think so. We had a heck of a May in the market, and now here we are, June 1st, and we're still alive, despite the old Farmer's Almanac. This is Bill Gunderson, Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. We begin a new week in the market with a moderate drop, and I can tell you why. It's pretty simple. You've got oil up 6% today, all right? And we know that there is a an inverse relationship right now between oil prices, especially crude and Brent, and the market. And obviously that all stems from the flow of news coming out of Iran and Trump and his advisors. So I don't know the latest, but obviously there must be something a little bit discomfiting to the market today, because oil's up 6% and the market is down a little bit. The all-important 10-year is at 4.49% as Kevin Warsh. I think he takes charge today. I think Jerome Powell, don't let the door hit you on the way out, pal, takes charge. It's a billion-dollar door, overpriced and overscheduled and every over budget, right, Barry? And the men's room's like a billion-dollar gold-plated, you know, the Federal Reserve and all that. But anyway, we have a little bit of a downdraft in the market today. I have an earnings update for you in a bit. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, with professional money manager, 26 years behind the mic, behind the trading desk, Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered a CFA and a CFP. He's not a CPA. When are you going to get the CPA? Then you'd have so many.
I never wanted that. They can keep somebody. Somebody can keep that one and handle the tax returns.
We'd have to get you new business cards too, bigger business cards that won't fit in your wallet, well, or fit in your head. You would not be able to get through a door because your head would be so big. Let's take a look here. We are starting a new month in the market, and let me tell you, was May a good month in the market? Oh, May was a really good month in the market. It was a terrific month in the market. In fact, the stats on the tech rally that we've seen since we invaded Iran and the market was reeling, and I wrote the news or the article on this is one of the most compelling buys I've seen in a long, long time. In fact, probably one of the most compelling buys I've seen during my entire career. That was a while back, not that long ago. It was in the early part, the first week of May, or was it the first week of April? No, it was first week of April.
April 6th.
Okay, April 6th, which is a lucky day.
And the market's been on an 11, so I heard this at the end of last week. So you wrote that article on April 6th. On a Monday is when it finally published. You actually wrote it over the weekend and probably
yes.
on Friday. But
yes.
But, yeah, so if we're, the market is on, I think it's 11 weeks in a row up. In that first week that it was up was the April 6th. It was the week
yes.
of April 6th.
And it's the best 2 months.
On an 11-week tear since you wrote that.
That's right. And it's the best 2 month run since 2009. And in addition to that, Micron, which was my top pick, I picked one, and I picked Lilly as a backup as a second, 1A and 1B, as they do in the horse races. I picked Micron as my top pick. Last year it was Palantir. Palantir ended up being the best performing stock in the S&P 500 in 2025. Now in 2026, Micron's up, I think, 240% as of Friday. And, Barry, we're not even halfway through the year yet.
We got 29 more days to go.
It might be time to sell half our Micron. I don't know. I take that a day at a time. Trump says that Iran really wants to make a deal. You notice how every other sentence by Trump's got the word deal in there somewhere. I mean, that is his middle name, Donald Trump, Donald Deal, deal maker in quotation marks. That seems to be his thing is making deals. He said that Monday, Iran really wants to make a deal. I used to watch Let's Make a Deal with Monty Clark. I would tell my mother I had a sore throat or a stomach ache. My estomago hurt, and I couldn't go to school. This was when I was like 12 or 13 years old, and my mom actually went to work. She was a working mom for much of her life, a lot of her life. And Billy would stay home and watch Let's Make a Deal and Password and all the great shows from yesteryear. The Price is Right.
Yeah.
And I love watching. They would dress up in goofy outfits and wave their sign, and Monty Hall would walk around and pick somebody. And you'd have door number one, door number two, door number three, and it was a fun show to watch. As peace talks between Washington and Tehran enter another month at an impasse, while he criticized political opponents and some Republicans over their commentary on the negotiations. Well, you got to believe that these are some pretty tricky negotiations. You got to believe that the leadership at the top in Iran is a very fluid situation, I would think. But Trump says it will be, I want a good deal for the USA. And then he knocks all the people that are criticizing him over the deal. He says it will all work out in the end. It always does. Well, I find that to kind of be a truism in life. It looks a little bit ugly from time to time, and a little bit hectic from time to time, a little bit chaotic from time to time. But things seem to always work out if you're persistent. If you're dealing fairly and squarely, things seem to work out. Trump requested several changes to the latest proposal negotiated by U.S. envoys and Iranian officials. And I'm sure, you know, it's still the number one part of the deal is the enrichment of uranium, which cannot go on. And that seems to be the hubbub here today. I talked to a guy yesterday. He flies, what are those great big planes down at our Charleston airport?
Oh, the C-17.
Yes, big, he flies one of those. Can you imagine flying and parallel parking one of those babies?
So you'll like this, Bill. They had at the soccer, local professional soccer team, the battery here. They did
the battery.
It was military appreciation this weekend, and they did a C-17 flyover. So the reason why the C-17 was on my tongue is I was at the house, and me and the kids are shooting the basketball in the back, and we got our own flyover. It literally
flying low.
They're monstrous.
And we have a kid in our church. He's a kid. He's like 22. He flies one of those. Yeah. He's been gone for several weeks. He can't tell me where he's been, but I saw him yesterday. He says, I've been in a tent somewhere in the desert for the last 3 weeks, sleeping in a tent, and now I'm back. I said, God bless you. So they want to make a deal, and that's Strait of Hormuz, a key shipping route that carries roughly 20% of global oil flows. And obviously there's some impatience with the deal today. How do I know that? Well, I look at the way crude oil is trading today. This is its biggest jump in quite a while. We finally got it down under $90 per barrel last week. We got it to 89, I believe. And today it is up. It's almost 6%. That's the biggest jump in a long time at 92.57. Maybe somebody blew up something over there, or some water skiers hit a sea mine, something. We had a big day in the market on Friday. I just want to remind you of something. Dell Computer. Unbelievable.
Look at it today.
I know. It's following through. It's up 32. It was up 32.8% on Friday. And I've mentioned how when I got into the business in the late 90s, Michael Dell was one of the rock stars. He didn't wear a leather coat like Jensen Huang. He didn't wear, the black, all black that Steve Jobs wore. But he did carry a BlackBerry phone. I do remember that. He was famous for his BlackBerry. And Dell was up 33%. Today it's ARM. ARM is a huge winner today. Yeah. Again, we have a big position in ARM.
I think they got a partnership.
The UK chip maker.
Yeah, they got another partnership. With NVIDIA.
You know, as I go through this commentary by Bloomberg over the weekend, I want you to notice the word that is missing from all of this. Actually, there's three words missing from all of this. We'll mention that at the when I get done with this. This is from Bloomberg. 3 months into the Iran-Iran conflict, investors are showing little appetite for caution. Okay? They're throwing caution to the wind, I guess, is how that goes. I mean, the caution that was shown early April, the fear quickly turned to greed, and the market took off. As two things converged, or actually two things diverged, you had earnings flying through the ceiling, expectations, and you had the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 dropped to under 20 for the first time in a long time, and that created what I saw at that time, a giant buying opportunity, which I did take advantage of at that time. Now, I'm not finding the buys today that I was back then. I have to be much, 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 much more careful now with what I buy. But global stocks, corporate bonds, and other risk assets have continued to climb as optimism over a potential ceasefire, combined with relentless enthusiasm. Okay, there's another word that begins with E that they're leaving out. They're using enthusiasm. For artificial intelligence-related investment, Bloomberg News reported on Sunday. The S&P notched its ninth consecutive weekly gain on Friday, matching its longest winning streak since 2023. That was the other time we put out a big, massive buy signal, and that was right as the Fed was starting to wind down with their interest rate hikes, with behind the curve Jerome Powell at the helm, driving a very slippery path back then, and desperately trying to catch up because he was so far behind the curve. He did 475 basis point hikes in a row. That's how far behind they were. And of course, the NASDAQ finally bottomed in January of 2023, and that was the last big rally we had, and that was another buy signal. I don't put out a lot of buy signals on the market. I've done four. In the last several years. Treasury prices rose, oil prices retreated sharply during May as traders increasingly bet that tensions in the Middle East could eventually ease. Well, you know what? I mean, that's not really like rocket science to figure out that we're going to eventually win the war in Iran. I know it's been sticky and problematic for sure. But I think we have the military and the C-7s, right, to win that war eventually. Markets remain focused on negotiations between Washington and Tehran, though reports over the weekend suggested talks remain fluid. Well, yeah, you can say that again, and no final agreement has been reached. Some strategists say that much of the positive outcome is already reflected in asset price. Well, they go on and on and on and on and on about geopolitical risks remaining. They don't mention one time the elephant in the room. The word elephant starts with E, and so do earnings. The earnings expectations have exploded. Next year, 2026, we were at $330 a share like 3 or 4 months ago. And now we're at 383, somewhere in there. They've gone up by $53 per share. That's huge.
And a lot of that increase was two companies, NVIDIA and Micron. Thankfully, two names we're concentrated in.
Well, Bloomberg goes on to say, still, the dominant force, there's another, they don't mention earnings in the market. No. Yes, artificial intelligence, yes, but it leads to, all roads in the market lead to earnings in my book. Semiconductor stocks have posted extraordinary gains. Well, we own Broadcom, we own Taiwan Semiconductor, NVIDIA, Micron, SanDisk, SK Hynix, Samsung, and ASM Lithography. Seagate's a semi. It's more of a disk drive company, memory company. And we also own Marvell Technology, which is fiber optic chips. While shares of Micron, SK Hynix, and Samsung have surged as demand for advanced memory chips accelerates. Well, they're always going to question whether the pace of the rally is sustainable. But, you know, that's, for that, you look at the five-year target prices that I have on these stocks to see how high they can go if they're able to meet those earnings estimates, which are astronomical. The earnings for these memory companies in 2027 is just absolutely astronomical. I've never seen anything like it since I've been in the industry for the last 26 years. Now, let's just do a little update on the earnings picture. And I will be sending the newsletter out later today. We're going through the very last, what would you call it, Barry? We're putting it through all of the compliance.
Yeah,
That's the word.
Yeah, and rigor, and then, you know, in some of the formatting and things. So, yeah, it's
but it's new and improved.
I kind of like the little supplement
that he had.
It's kind of neat. But anyway,
hopefully
make your life
Gunderson.
Easier.
Yes, intelligence report. Gunderson Intelligence, what some would say is an oxymoron. But
the GI, right?
We've been doing okay this year. So, for Q1 2026, which is now in the books, 97% of the companies have reported actual results. 85%. I don't know why the analysts can't figure that out. Raise their estimates a little bit. Every quarter, it's like 85% of the companies report a positive EPS surprise. So if I'm an analyst, I'm going to, you know, add a little bit for, you know, the company is always going to sandbag and try to tamp down expectations. The earnings growth for the S&P 500 companies for this quarter, which is now 97% in the books, is 28.6. This is the highest earnings growth reported by the index since Q4 of 2021. And that was coming out of COVID. So you were comparing back then Q4 2021, which was pretty much the full impact of COVID, versus Q4 of 2020, and that was 32%. Okay, we're not going to quite make 32%, but 28.6 is smoking hot, smoking hot. And also consider that, you know, at the beginning of the year, this quarter was expected to be 12.7% higher. And instead, it's 28.6% higher. And the revenue growth, 11.8 year over year. And the profit margin for Q1 is 14.8%. Take that, Walmart. Take that, McDonald's. Take that, Target. If 14.8 is the actual net profit margin for the quarter, it will mark the highest net profit margin reported by the index since FactSet Research began tracking this metric in 2009.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
The other part of this earnings thing equation is obviously the V, which is valuation. Okay, if the market was trading at 57 times earnings right now, that would give me a lot of heartburn, but it's not. And, you know, I hear these, they try to make these comparisons with the dot-com bubble of 2000, which I witnessed, was there. And there you had very little in the way of E earnings, and here you have a lot in the way of E. And when you take the current price of the S&P 500 and divide it by the next 12 months of earnings, that's called the forward P-E ratio, which I give more heed to than the P-E ratio, because the P-E ratio looks backwards, and the forward P-E ratio looks forwards. We're at 21.2x right now, this week. from 21.1 last week. We got as high as 23. 23 seems to be the top. It was the top back in 2001 or 2021. And it was the top here recently, about six to 9 months ago, right?
Yeah, right about, it was right about, you wrote it, you were warning about that 23 number. We talk about it, you talk about it a lot, but that's, it's an important number. And that last time, I think, was around end of October, early November of 2025. And then, of course, since then, we've had a lot of earnings growth, which is, you know, kind of the market, even though the market's gone, you know, higher than it was then. We've got better earnings, and you got a better valuation.
It's caught up.
Which was part of your thesis, you know, the primary thesis for your April 6th article to begin with.
Yes, 100%, because the forward PE went down to 19.9 because the market went down and the earnings went up. Okay, that's the best of all worlds if you're looking for an entry point. And that did create a fabulous entry point in the market at that time. Now, this year's going to be a huge year for IPOs, a huge year for IPOs, and there is some fear. You know, all that money that goes into IPOs does take a lot of capital, and the thought is, well, all of this capital going into IPOs may hurt the overall market, but you've got Goldman Sachs saying today that they don't think that that will be the case. That it won't take a lot of oxygen out of the market. You're going to get Anthropic this year. We're going to get OpenAI this year. We're going to get SpaceX here
pretty
real
soon. I guess SpaceX will probably looks like it's going to be the first one.
Yes, and I put a chart actually of Anthropic into it'll be in the newsletter next week. Anthropic is going to give the Mythos access to the EU cybersecurity agency. That's kind of their crown jewel at Anthropic, is their cybersecurity, which can find and prevent, you know, exploitation and vulnerabilities in IT systems. So that's kind of a big thing. I was just looking at a chart. Yes, they do track the price. You can look at a chart of a private company on some of these big ones because they do it by the rounds of funding. And if you look at July, I don't know, it was down around $25 a share. Now it's at $589.
Yeah, they keep having up rounds, which is the way, the direction you want.
Yes, and by the time it gets to the little guy on an IPO, it's just my opinion, watching this over the years, that you're paying through the nose at that point, and you're the ATM machine. You're the liquidity for all these people that are in at $25 a share. You're going to pay $589 if it went public today, somewhere in that range, $589. To me, if you do a price-to-sales ratio on that, it's absolutely astronomical. And even worse yet is SpaceX. Because
what did we say, 1,000? Didn't we say 1,000 times revenue for what it is?
At least Anthropic has revenue. The only revenue that SpaceX has is coming from their
Starlink.
Starlink. Yeah. Everything else is pie in the sky pipe dream that we can launch data centers into space. Okay, what else do we have? We got a lot here today. How about this Swiss referendum where they're going to limit how many people can live in Switzerland? They're going to have that will completely reshape. Citizens will decide on whether the cap. What will they do? Arrest you if you have a kid? Will they come and arrest you? They're going to cap the country's population at 10 million. Heck, there's more in some of our cities. Doesn't Switzerland have all the Alps and everything and lots of open land? I don't know. Due to concerns about overcrowding and rising anti-immigration sentiment across Europe, it's a big deal. Since Switzerland already has over 9.1 million, meaning current immigration would need to be halved in the coming decades. What about having new kids? I don't know what they're going to do about that. What the penalty will be with that, how much prison time you get. Dell. It's like
It's like the old China one child policy almost, or even worse. Yeah. I guess it could be.
It didn't
none.
Help their economy.
No,
it at all.
Did not.
It was a disaster. Dell launches a touchscreen XP313 starting at $699 to rival Apple. So now Dell steps into Apple's backyard big time. And secondly, NVIDIA debuts the RTX Spark AI superchip for Windows laptops. You get this? I was there during the PC revolution. My first PC was I bought it in San Diego. There was a company in Del Mar that was the hottest thing going for a while. They put up a circus tent to make those PCs.
Oh, you told me what it was called. Yeah, you told me.
I'll think of it in a minute. Yeah. He actually went to our church and was quite a guy, man.
K-Pro.
David K.
Right. Yeah.
And he had a son named Alan K. And David K. made a fortune with K-Pro. And I had one of the early ones. I wish I would have kept it. I don't know what I did with it. Probably gave it away at a garage sale or something.
Yeah, that thing
but
would
it
be
had
worth
a,
something at this point.
Yeah, it had a spreadsheet with 20 columns and 20 rows. It was a VisiCalc. And the screen was two colors, amber and whatever that dark gray is. Now I've seen the whole revolution of the PC. Michael Dell was there. IBM was there. Hewlett Packard was there. Apple was there. Novell was there, linking all of these PCs together. Cisco was there. And then along came others. The storage companies were there. Western Digital, Seagate, and obviously they're still relevant today. And Intel drove the business. You've got mail. That was all Intel. And, of course, the PC revolution took place. And then along came the phone, the iPhone, which began with all your music. I can't even remember what it was now, an i something.
Oh, the, was it the iPod?
Had your music. No. Prior to that, it had your music on it. And then pretty soon it had your camera, and then pretty soon it had this. And then it became your everything, kind of like Michael Dell's BlackBerry back then. But this is sparking the market today, and that's why you're seeing huge, huge gains today in, let me see my list, in ARM, Dell, Micron. Nibius is having a big
Nibius
day.
Is having a really good day, too, yeah.
We have an article, a brand new article, like
Thursday.
2 or 3 days old.
Yeah.
And NVIDIA is up having a big day. Arista Networks, SanDisk, CoreWeave is up 7.4. NVIDIA debuts a PC chip for the era of personal AI agents featuring one petaflop. Okay, this is a new one in my vocabulary.
What's
a petaflop?
I don't know. It doesn't sound
good. It sounds
good.
Like something they would do at the Olympics.
No,
he did a petaflop and got a 2 of AI performance. You're going to get one petaflop of AI. How much do 2 cost? Full stack NVIDIA AI and graphics tech. Isn't it amazing how NVIDIA emerged
from graphics card gaming? Yeah, they were a
from
graphics
Electric
card
Arts,
company.
Yeah. You know, Electronic Arts and Take-Two Interactive and all this and that. And, what's the one about Grand Theft Auto?
Oh, yeah, I think that's
basketball. By the way, this Wednesday, the Knicks will be playing the 7'5" guy from San Antonio. Really, the big news of the day, besides oil up 6%, which is being overshadowed in the market at least by this news of NVIDIA entering into the PC market, the beneficiaries. Well, the losers right now are Apple, because Dell's entering into Apple's turf with a cheaper computer and more powerful. Apple is down today. AMD's also a slight loser in all of this because these NVIDIA chips for PC, that's a big deal, Barry. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, and that would step on the toes of somebody like AMD. Maybe
the cousins won't be talking us Thanksgiving this week. I don't know, or this November. Now, on the other hand, the winners, ARM. ARM is up 53. We're up 2.1% today overall. ARM is up 14.7% or $53 a share right now. Dell, after a 32% move on Friday, is up another 9.4. There's a couple possible value buys that are in play here. Adobe is going to remaster their entire suite, driven by the NVIDIA chip. Adobe is cheap, and it's rallying today. It's definitely worth a look. And I'll tell you another one. If you want a low PE one to look at that's rallying today, who's another big PC maker? If you look at the PCs you've owned over the years, I've owned plenty of Hewlett-Packards and Hewlett-Packard.
What's Lenovo looking like?
I don't know. Lenovo is a
South Korean, a huge pop a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
It may be moving today, but I'd like the chart of Hewlett-Packard right now, HPQ, which is a very, very low PE stock, behind the times, behind the curve, more than Jerome Powell over there at Hewlett-Packard. But it's also a beneficiary. Nibius is up 17.2 today after our article last week, and CoreWeave, CRWV, is up 14.7% today. So all of those stocks, big beneficiaries. We're also seeing some action in the oil and gas patch today, obviously, with oil up 6%. You've got Halliburton's up 2.3%. We have a new article out on Halliburton. We said, let's do a non-tech stock for a change. And we did Halliburton. Devon's up 5.4%. Where is ARM now? ARM's got to be... Our second biggest position became Dell on Friday. One is NVIDIA, I want to say. Where's ARM right now? We only own that in one portfolio, though.
Yeah, right now we've got... ARM is our third biggest holding.
There you go.
Dell has rocketed to the top over the last, if you can imagine.
And what's number two now? NVIDIA?
AMD. AMD is actually number two.
And then NVIDIA must be number four.
Yeah, now we got Micron, Taiwan Semi.
Oh, Micron.
And then NVIDIA.
Okay, no more. Don't give them any more, or they'll go do it themselves. All these do-it-yourselfers are rushing to Schwab right now to run these trades. They listen to Gunderson, steal his ideas. Invest in them, and then write me thank you letters. Okay. It's cool. If I can make some money for the regular guys out there doing, like me, a working stiff every day, 10 hours a day, God bless them. Now, let's do, we got just a few more minutes. NVIDIA's push into the PCs lifts ARMs, pressures Qualcomm, Intel, AMD. Well, it's lifting Lenovo. Now, Lenovo's got a weird symbol, so look this up. LNVGY, meaning that it's foreign. I think Lenovo is Japanese, I think. It's either Japanese.
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, I think it is.
Not Korean.
Yeah.
And Microsoft is getting a lift, too, today from all of this activity. Now, here's your boring news of the day. I don't understand this, but... It is what it is. I can't argue with Warren Buffett's performance over the years. He's buying a home builder. With all this going on in AI, he's buying an $8.5 billion housing bet on Taylor Morrison, TMHC. And I'm just looking at the track record of the stock. It certainly doesn't meet our criteria. It's different from Warren Buffett's. What can I say? The 10-year performance on Taylor Morrison, 14.6, which is about half of the S&P 500. Over the last 12 months, it's up 4.4, 28.8 for the S&P. Why is it up only 4.4? Interest rates are too high. Who can buy a new, who's going to sell their home with a 3% mortgage and buy a new home with a 7% mortgage? That just doesn't make much sense. But I guess, obviously, they like value. And I did a valuation, a five-year valuation on Taylor Morrison. I couldn't find the value in it. But suffice it to say, that's his newest buy. And then we'll end with a non-tech stock beside here, the home builder. Wegovy is catching up is slowly catching up with Lilly. And if you compare the P.E. ratio on the two stocks, Lilly and NVO, which are both miracle drugs, I can't put it any other way. They're miracle drugs. I wish more people would discover them, find out how easy it is to finally lose weight without huffing and puffing around the track, wearing the sweatpants, pumping iron, whatever you do, starving yourself. I've seen too many success stories. And, you know, you can talk about the side effects all you want, but these drugs have been around for a long time. Mounjaro's been around for a long time. And Ozempic has been around a long time as diabetes drugs. So I don't see all the scare that I've heard about people. I think it mostly is planted by the people that own gymnasiums, Gold's Gym and Planet Fitness, and the people that sell diet food and stuff like this. It's a total disruptor, these two pills. Zepbound, which are now pills, by the way, and Novo Nordisk. We own them both. We like disruptors. We don't like the disrupted. Okay, from now on, the newsletter, we've got a plan in place to get it out every Friday evening. So you can have it all weekend or early Saturday, depending on the action in the market on Friday. And I've got help behind me. The whole goal is to give Bill Gunderson Saturday off.
Give him his weekend back.
Man, I'll tell you what, I can play with my trains, I can go fishing, I can go for walks, just all kinds of opportunities that open up to me. So I'm all for the plan, and I'm on board. So one more day, we're doing it today. It's been triple filtered by now. You know how the real premium water is triple filtered? The newsletter will have been triple filtered by the time it goes out, and that will be the format going forward, and it's going to come out Friday evening or early Saturday morning going forward. This is Bill Gunderson. To get four free weeks, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment with us about money management. Our clients are having a good year. They're pretty happy. No guarantees going forward, obviously, but you can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Set up an appointment. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.